At times a trumpet has been pressed against a sitter, forcing him back into his chair in spite of every effort to resist. A solid mahogany table so heavy that it takes two people to lift it, has been taken from a corner of the room and deposited in the center of the circle. At a Christmas tree party for spirit children held at the Balham Psychic Society, at which 60 people were present, the tree had been fastened into a wooden crate. The crate was nailed to the floor with 8-inch nails through pieces of timber 4 inches thick. The tree was also nailed with similar nails to other pieces of fringe quartering which, in turn, were nailed to the sides of the crate. The tree was further wedged in with wood, etc. At the end of this séance, after almost every toy had been played with, musical instruments played in harmony with the singing, clockwork toys wound up and set working, and every toy on the tree had been taken off, there were over 100 toys, the tree was wrenched out of the fastenings, pulling up the floorboards in doing so, levitated to the skylight, where it partially pulled off the brown paper that had been fixed to make 80, the church light proof, and finally gently descended in the dark, crowded hall to rest between two sitters. This Christmas tree was 10 feet high. Rods used in a séance for levitation of objects are straight, and movement is the same as would result from movement of a ball and socket joint. The gripping of objects by the rods is instantaneous. One object may be in levitation and deposited, and as the act of deposition takes place, a second object nearby may be immediately raised with great vigor. The levitation of the medium to considerable heights and distances in halls, etc., also indicates the strength of the psychic power used. Although the use of rods for levitation is the main method used, the movement of objects in a séance is not confined to this means, as may be seen by referring to the chapter on materialized forms, heads, hands, etc. 81. Chapter 15 Voice Production. The production of a spirit voice, unassociated with the medium's vocal organ, takes place in a voice box produced in ectoplasm or by other means. The photographs show the ectoplasmic formations housing the voice mechanism. The guides inform us that a replica of the medium's vocal organs are built in the structure. For such a physical formation to be built up with Mr. Weber, a complete trance state is essential, and the guide's instruction must be accepted. When photographs have been secured of voice boxes through other mediums, they show a similarity of structure. Plate's nose 18 and I-9 bear a very close resemblance to photographs of voice boxes obtained in New York some years ago through the mediumship of Mrs. Marjorie Crandon. It is noteworthy that, when similar photographs are taken with a number of years intervening in places as far apart as London and New York, through different mediums, with different controls, prima facie evidence exists of a common fund of knowledge from which the guides are able to obtain instruction. It is definitely established that voices do emanate from these formations, as is proved by the hearing of weaker toned words in the immediate proximity of the medium, while at the same time the words are being loudly produced by amplification in the trumpet a considerable distance away from the medium, the dim voice resembling the volume of sound one hears from a gramophone soundbox disconnected from the amplifier. 82. Proof that the spirit voice cannot be the product of the medium's vocal organ lies in the fact that, while the spirit voice is speaking, the guide can often be heard speaking through the medium's throat simultaneously. Further evidence that voices must be produced through a mechanism external to the medium is demonstrated when two spirit conversations are taking place at the same time in different parts of the room, while the guide is also using the human throat. Thus one often hears three voices, each distinct in its tonal quality from the others, simultaneously. When such phenomena are produced, the trumpets carrying the spirit voices are on each side of the room and the source of the voice at these times lies within the mouth of the trumpet, so that the voice mechanism is constructed very near to or within the trumpet mouth - the trumpets being connected to the medium by an ectoplasmic arm and held by an ectoplasmic rod. Voices so obtained are termed the direct voice. Voices are frequently produced, clearly and distinctly and without the use of a trumpet, these are called independent voices. No specific evidence has yet been obtained to indicate what mechanism is used for the independent voice. The photographs show, in each case, that the voice box is either attached directly to the medium, or by an ectoplasmic arm. An arm also connects the voice box to the mouth of the trumpet. The sounds created in the voice box have to travel along the ectoplasmic arm to the trumpet for amplification. Our knowledge of how the sound so travels is not conclusive. The probability is that the ectoplasmic arm is tubular. Another alternative is that the ectoplasmic connection possesses a quality that carries sound waves, which are again translated into audibility by a mechanism such as a diaphragm constructed in the trumpet. 83. Evidence in support of the thesis that the ectoplasmic arms are tubular is seen on plate number 14, where just above the grippers a mouth-like orifice is seen, presenting an appearance of hollowness throughout the arm. The statement in the previous chapter that when the ends of these arms were illuminated, they appeared as rings of light, gives further support to the contention that the arms may be hollow. The guides also speak of hollow rods. Definite statements can be made as to the way in which sounds are produced through the voice boxes. As the replica of human vocal organs are reproduced, so is a wind instrument created, requiring a current of air to vibrate the mechanism. When a vigorous, loud, and sustained voice is heard coming through a trumpet, the sound of air emission can also be distinguished, consonant with the deep breathing of an orator. This is particularly noticeable with a strong singing voice. The method by which the air current is directed through the voice box has not yet been ascertained. It may be, A, pass through the medium's body, B, travel from the body via the ectoplasmic arm, or C, emanate from the atmosphere adjacent to the medium. As regards the latter, it should be remembered that a phenomenon common to most forms of physical mediumship is that strong currents of air are experienced, sometimes of great force. These currents of air come from the proximity of the medium, and curtains are blown horizontal to their fastenings. They are much colder than the general atmosphere. Therefore, the possibility exists that the current of air required to create sound may be obtained from a source external to the medium. More tenable is the thesis that the air current is supplied through the medium's body to the voice box. 84. This is confirmed by the statement above that respiratory sounds are heard with vigorous singing. Furthermore, as apported objects and ectoplasm can be emitted through the physical body, so could a volume of air be transmitted. This need not interfere with the operating of the human throat by the guide in control, which is often heard speaking while spirit voices are also present. A feature of Mr. Weber's mediumship is the singing of hymns and ballads through the trumpet or in the independent voice. One control, Reuben, possesses an extremely powerful voice, so strong that at times the trumpet is in a condition of tension, setting up such a high vibration that it takes on a ringing tone. At all times the direct voice is of full loudspeaker strength, possessing a quality of tone that is distinctive, and which the medium is incapable of reproducing. Each syllable is clearly articulated. If the medium could produce this singing voice normally, he could obtain a good living on the concert platform without endangering his life and health at public seances. Reuben has sung continuously for an hour without cessation, with such vigor that any human throat would have become exhausted and hoarse. His rendering of hymns has been recorded by the Decca Record Co., limited clearly to, but without such force, Paddy, a boy control, is often heard, as is also the rich contralto voice of a lady, and other spirit singers. A phenomenon, impossible for human agency to reproduce, is the singing of Reuben and Paddy at the same time through the same trumpet, one voice a powerful rich baritone, and the other a thin piping voice. When these controls sing, the voice box is definitely built in the small end of the trumpet. The trumpet is generally well away from the medium, 6 to 8 feet high, and a similar distance in front of the medium. The origin of these voices lies within the trumpet. It is interesting to remember that the diameter of a trumpet's mouth is 85, half an inch. And after use this end becomes battered and bent so that the orifice is partially closed. Under such conditions no human mouth could possibly use such a mouthpiece and produce the perfectly formed words of a hymn, slow, deliberate and perfectly enunciated. Rubin has also revealed a comprehensive knowledge of acoustics and the technical knowledge necessary for recording his voice through the microphone. He was responsible for giving instructions as to where the microphone should be placed and positioned the trumpet to avoid distortion. On one occasion, when Mr. Hugh Miller was recording the voice, the trumpet in use was a two-piece one, producing a vibrant effect. Rubin discarded the trumpet and sang as clearly and as strongly in independent voice. No human throat could produce the resonant, vibrant tone that is heard when Rubin sings. It is not intended to give here details of the evidential nature of messages received. Let it suffice that voices are heard with every kind of intonation and dialect. Speech in foreign tongues has been given to visitors from other lands and conversations maintained in that tongue. Voices of men, women, and children are distinct, and the conversations display an intimate knowledge of family events that are personal to the sitter and the spirit communicant. Our knowledge of the manner in which an independent voice is produced is limited. All that can be said here is that such voices are heard speaking clearly without trumpets, without physically constructed voice boxes, in either darkness or white light. Independent voices have been obtained through other mediums without the need for those mediums to go into a deep or even partial trance. On occasions when the medium has had a mishap, and is unconscious, with bleeding, and doubt has been felt as to the treatment or procedure to be adopted, and the light has been on, the voice of Black Cloud or Paddy 86 has been heard giving instructions, the voices originating some feet away from the medium. On one evening, when Mr. Weber was away from home, Paddy's voice was heard speaking softly yet distinctly in three different rooms of the house. He was heard by people in each room, uttering the same words at the same time. Addendum March 1940. On February 10, at Lincoln, a conversation was carried on via the trumpet in French. On January 27, at the Sanctuary of St. Andrew, Haring, conversations were carried on in Swedish, Portuguese, and a recital of Latin was given. The sitter who carried on the Swedish conversation said there was no trace of an accent foreign to the tongue. It may be re-emphasized here that Mr. Weber was an unlettered man. He rarely read a book. In fact, his only reading matter was the newspapers and children's comics. 87, Chapter 16. Ectoplasmic materials. The ectoplasmic formations referred to in the photographs have been repeatedly produced in a reasonable red light, all sitters observing the phenomena. In dark seances, the process of emitting ectoplasm is often illustrated by means of the illuminated plaques. The process is as follows. The medium's body is bent forward whilst in the ropes, so that his head is over his feet. From the mouth there commences to emerge a substance that to the eye looks like heavy vapor. As it emerges, it unrolls and pours down in front of the medium's body to the floor. At the same time it continues to pour out from the mouth, like a cascade, until there is a considerable volume on the floor, spreading for several feet each way. The emergence is rapid and the process of emission only occupies a few seconds. There is no noise from the medium's throat during this time. Rapidly, in 2 or 3 seconds only, the vaporish mass condenses or becomes concentrated, until there hangs from the mouth a length of material-like substance. The texture of this material varies according to the conditions prevailing at the sitting, and the condition of the medium himself. When conditions are good, the texture is very fine and close. When the conditions are not so good, the material is coarser and rents may be seen in the fabric. See plate number 27, where a rent is visible. 88. This material has often been handled, under the guide's instructions, by the author and other sitters. It is moist, though not very wet, and possesses a peculiar odor. On a number of occasions the author has been invited to unravel the material and open it out. To do this, however, extreme care has to be taken. The width of the material, when opened out, is wider than the outstretched arms of one person. Whilst unraveling the ectoplasm at a sitting, the author was unable to stretch it out to its full extent, and the assistance of the next sitter was allowed by the guide. The full extent must have been 2 yards or more. Plate number 34 illustrates an occasion when sitters were permitted to take hold of the ectoplasmic material, and they were asked to open it out and hold it up so that a better idea of its area could be photographed. On occasions such as these, sitters are a little nervous of causing harm, and here apparently they did not use their two hands. The photograph, however, serves to show the considerable length of material produced. The return of the ectoplasm is instantaneous. The author has her gentle hold of the material one moment, and within the second that followed, the material has been whisked away with a sound like the twang of a piece of elastic, and it has disappeared. On the occasion when the photograph, shown by plate number 29, was taken, a red light was burning, and the sitters saw this voluminous material passing back into the medium in a fraction of a second. One moment it was visible, and the next it had disappeared. Following the reabsorption of the material by the medium, a gulping throat action is heard. Several descriptions of this material have been given by sitters, as closely woven silk of a rich quality, like wet toy balloon rubber, a wide piece of thin seaweed. This formation has no pattern, such as net. It is like a skin rather than a woven fabric. It is distinct from the ectoplasmic drapery that enfolds a materialized form. 89. This drapery is most gossamer-like, and is so light that its texture is as a spider's fine web. Each strand is composed of 13 to 15 minor strands, which are interwoven four times around each side of the square forming the net pattern, and the size of the square is about the size of a pin's head, impossible to humanly produce. The author has been told that the formations, as photographed, are composed of cells, and that they possess nerves and capillaries and are therefore sensitive. Whatever form ectoplasm may take, it is obviously of human content. It proceeds from the living body and returns to be absorbed into the body. It must therefore be living matter. This ectoplasm is the basis for materialization of spirit people. See chapter on materializations. Though from observations taken whilst with Mr. Weber, it is not clear what form the ectoplasm is in, to enable spirit people to use it to manifest themselves. One of the controls, Dr. Miller, has given the following information: first the ectoplasm is produced, then the controls mold it around the etheric body of the spirit visitor, who is able to draw from the ectoplasm that power to materialize the etheric body. In doing so, the body becomes as physical as in earthly life, with the various organs also materialized. Thus the materialized etheric form is able to speak, etc. At once sitting, ectoplasmic hands were seen to travel to the red lamp, take hold of it, and detach it from the ceiling hook. The bulb had a controlling switch in the fitting enabling it to be turned on and off at will by the spirit controls. On this occasion the bulb was held, illuminating the ectoplasmic material, showing its texture, semi-transparent, and the complete absence of weaving marks. No threads or cross threads were visible. 90. When this material is illuminated by means of luminous plaques, its texture is shadowy and does not show clear, defined edges. An ectoplasmic rod was shown this way, appearing straight and rigid, with bulges in it like knuckles. The plaques traveled along the whole length of the rod, showing its emergence from the solar plexus to the far end where an object was in levitation. Trumpets, high up in the air, are also lit up by the plaques, which travel all round the trumpets to show no visible connection. Plate number 26 was obtained within 2 minutes of the commencement of a developing circle. Mr. Weber had been bound to the chair and the white light put out, leaving the ruby lamp alight. The sitters had commenced to sing when Mr. Weber remarked, "There is something over my face, try a photograph." An exposure was made, resulting in the picture shown. While levitation of objects in a white light is not uncommon, here is obtained, for the first time, it is believed, a photograph of ectoplasm in a physical state, taken with the medium normal in red light. The word normal is quoted, for while the medium was quite conscious of what was taking place, he was in an extremely sensitive condition. After the exposure had been made, Black Cloud spoke in the independent voice, saying that when the plate was developed, it would show ectoplasm over the head and face. The source of the ectoplasmic emergence is from the body below the neck. Later on during this sitting, Sitters in the circle felt their heads similarly enmeshed in ectoplasmic material, which stretched out from their medium. The circle, being a small one of seven sitters, saw, at one time, the floor space filled with ectoplasm, rising up round their legs. The atmosphere was very cold. Plate number 32 shows a length of ectoplasmic material over 5 yards long. The wide angle lens of the camera could not receive the full length. 91. These two photographs of ectoplasmic formations were secured in January 1940. They are remarkable for an unusual instruction from the guide, eloquent of the improved technique the guides were acquiring with the further development of the medium, illustrating the manner in which they were cooperating with the efforts to secure evidential photographs. The author was in charge of the photographic apparatus and white light, and all was ready to take a photograph should the opportunity come. The sitting was proceeding and throat noises were heard coming from the medium, when the unusual instruction was received: photo and light. A photograph being anticipated by the character of the throat action noise, the infrared was immediately flashed by pressing the switch. The right hand came across and closed the shutter in front of the plate, returning to the white light switch. Both these switches are of the press kind, so that no delay was caused. Before the commencement of the sitting, both these switches and the camera had been placed so conveniently that all could be worked quickly and without the necessity to rise from the chair. The three movements were therefore rapid, and the only interval between the photographic exposure and the white light was the time allowed to close the plate shutter. 2 seconds is a generous time allowance. Plate number 30 was the first to be taken, and it will be realized that the absorption back into the medium of the ectoplasmic formation was therefore instantaneous. It is obvious that it would be impossible for the medium in the photographed roped condition to dispose normally of the material requiring the use of his hands and to return to the roped position inside 2 seconds. It would also have been impossible for any sitter to have taken and secreted the volume of material without 92, unlinking hands, and other sitters becoming aware of the movement. Also, it is doubtful whether any sitter could have disposed of the material before the white light was switched on. A few minutes later, after the plate had been changed and a new sash light bulb inserted in the infrared cabinet, a similar instruction was received: photo and light. On this occasion, plate number 31 was secured. The author was ready for this instruction, and the period between the infrared flash and the white light was not more than 1 second. Indeed, the operation was so rapid that for a few moments the medium came back to normality. It will be seen in this second photograph the expanse of ectoplasmic material is considerably greater, and the absorption back into the medium must have been an instantaneous action immediately after the exposure. It is hard to imagine a more perfect test condition for a medium than this, or more definite evidence of supernormal activity. How completely these photographs dispose of the theory recently put forward that ectoplasm is a cheesecloth-like material, swallowed by the medium before the seance, regurgitated, and then re-swallowed. In the light of these photographs, and the time factor, the absurdity of such a thesis is so obvious that no other comment is necessary. Plans had been made to re-demonstrate this phenomenon before various scientific faculties and photographic societies, and this was only prevented by the passing of the medium. It is confidently asserted that these two photographs prove beyond doubt the existence of operating spirit intelligences possessing a knowledge of forces, anatomy, and laws entirely unknown to man. 93, Chapter 17, Materialized Forms, Heads, Hands, etc. The first phase of Mr. Weber's mediumship to produce materialized forms was the creation of heads only, which were illuminated by means of the luminous plaques. With this development came hands, that were felt and seen by the sitters. Looking into the heads full-faced, they are seen to be of perfect formation, hair, eyes, nose, and mouth being fully physical. The faces are often full-sized, but now and again are much smaller than any normal head, being about 4 to 5 inches high. A white ectoplasmic cowl invariably surrounds the head, and the shape of shoulders and garments can be glimpsed in the illumination. The period of formation occupies only a few seconds. When the plaque first illuminates the head, it may not be perfectly formed, but it rapidly assumes the correct features. The heads remain in the proximity of the medium, probably linked to the medium by an ectoplasmic connection. They can, however, travel about 6 feet from the medium in any direction. After the head has formed and a short period of time has elapsed, the lips are seen to move, and sounds like a preliminary struggle for articulation ensues. This finally leads to the materialization speaking to the sitters. This speech is usually perfectly audible, and the difference between that of a woman, a child, a man, or a guide is quite distinctive. 94. The forms of guides build up strongly, particularly so with the controls of the medium, in which case the voice is loud and clear. These heads have been recognized very many times by sitters as the faces of those whom they knew when on Earth. Guides are often able to give further details of their personality, either showing headdresses, coloring of features, or speaking in their own tongues. Conversations have taken place in tongues other than English between a materialized head and a sitter. If a person passed over as the result of head injuries, bandages, and blood stains are reproduced to add weight to the identity. Hands of all sizes are also seen by the plaques, and if in an instance of this nature there had been a deformity in physical life, such as the loss of a number of fingers or enlarged joints, these are faithfully reproduced. Sometimes as many as 5 or 6 forms may be seen at a séance, at others, there may be materialized only one head, or not any at all. The copious white ectoplasmic cowling is evidential of supernormal power apart from the heads themselves. So voluminous is it that it would be difficult for any person to secrete it. Mr. Weber is always open to a search. In fact, after there has been shown excessive cowling or drapery, the guide invariably asks the chairman of the séance to search the medium before he leaves the presence of the sitters. Frequently, hands are felt by sitters. They are full physical hands. The large hand of a powerful man or the small hand of a child. They are, as a rule, slightly wet, yet their temperature is warmer than the hands of the sitters themselves. The latter, through being linked for an hour or more, are usually hot, yet the materialized hand is the warmer. If the hands are of Chinese guides, the long nails which these guides have can be felt by the sitters. 95. Sometimes the hands caress the face, hands, and arms of a sitter, or they may play with the hair or an ornament. There is another phase of materialization that is worthy of comment. In a dark séance, a cigarette lighter has been flicked on, and in the white flash there has been outlined the solid form of a being with outstretched arm, one of the medium's controls. At times, when the sitters are known to the guide, or it is judged they will not be alarmed by a little frivolity, jokes are played. On one occasion, Mr. Bernard Gray, of the Sunday Pictorial, who was present at the séance, had his hair lightly tied to that of the author. If there should be spare rope or string, a sitter may find himself or herself securely tied. See the securing of the medium. Thus the fact has to be taken into account that at times there may be present in the circle the materialized forms of the medium's controls who are carrying out work in connection with the phenomena. The author has not yet excluded from his mind the work of controls in this state of being responsible for the joining of two parts of the trumpet together, removing the spectacles from a sitter's face, and perhaps assisting with the final stage of removing the coat from the medium. At the present time, the developing circle is sitting in red light for materializations, and the physical forms have been seen, felt, and conversed with. During such phenomena, the medium is often seen bound to his chair. With materialization, at first a vague, shadowy form is seen, darker than the prevailing light. This form then becomes denser, and the hands and head are held to the red light for closer examination. The red light is about 9 feet from the floor, yet the materialized people are able to rise to it and expose their heads in close proximity to the bulb. Reuben and Paddy materialize most easily. At one circle, Reuben materialized perfectly. He took hold of the author's hand and passed it over his face. This 96 was repeated with other sitters. It was noticed that Reuben's hands were very warm. A conversation also took place between Reuben and those present. Thus, not only is a physical figure present, but the lungs and larynx must also have been formed. The warmth experienced in materialization raises an interesting problem. From whence does the warmth come? Ectoplasm, as felt, is wet and cold, yet it is from this substance that the forms build themselves,